Okay, I have a little test for you to do. Take a moment right now and rate your marriage on a scale from 1 to 10. Doesn't that sound scary?
That's scary.
But no matter where you land, check this out. A wife of 27 years said about the Weekend to Remember marriage conference, she said, "I found my best friend again. Just getting away together and focusing only on us is just what we needed. The sessions were timed perfectly, ordered intentionally, and I feel a new hope going home."
And you know how many times we've heard that?
Yes, probably thousands.
Yeah, we've been speaking at the Weekend to Remember for 35 years, and I'm not kidding. Thousands is not an exaggeration. That can happen for you. For 40 years, Weekend to Remember has helped couples strengthen their relationship for God's glory and healthier lives. And right now, you can save big. It's the best deal of the year, and it ends September 15th. So you need to go. And I'm going to tell you, just register right now at familylifetoday.com. The best sale of the year, familylifetoday.com. Sign up now.
Because Christ came, motivated by love, to bring people to the Father, and sin separates us from the Father, so the loving thing to do is to recognize that sin exists, and we want to, in love, call it out, speak the truth in love. Of course, we have to first shine the light of truth in our own lives, which is why we need to open the Word too. Yep. Shine a light there first.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. And you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
You know, we started a conversation yesterday with one of your favorite authors, Wendy Speak.
I love Wendy.
About eating food. Nope, it's about eating the Word of God, called the 40-Day Feast about God's Word. And we're going to jump right back into that. It's going to be another good day with Wendy Speak. Do you have a practice of Bible study that helps you understand? Because one of the things, you know, my story is I didn't understand it. You know, and back then there were no online commentaries,
right?
You know, where I could tap into scholars who have studied these over generations now.
I would encourage people, one, to open it up.
Yep. Start there.
To start there. I have an acronym for Feast.
You have like three acronyms.
I love
it.
I know.
Well, I'm an acronym guy.
Well, not only do I, but I say, okay, now you come up with an acronym.
Yeah,
like, it's
so
fun to get creative on how you're going to feast.
Well,
right?
This is your middle section, is really your devotionals are how to study God's Word for yourself.
Yeah.
And I love the practicality of that.
Yeah. I have a pre-reading plan, and that's to pray. Like, it could be, hey, God, I just want you to know, I'm here to hear from you. Give me the ears to hear you. Give me the eyes to see you. Give me the mind to perceive you. Give me the heart to experience your love as I read. Give me the spiritual taste buds to experience the sweetness of your word. And then give me the will to surrender and love you back.
Mm.
Here I am. Show off. I'm yours. Amen.
That's good.
You know, whatever it is, like, some people are going to be like, I don't pray like that. Okay. God, reveal yourself to me.
Yep.
Amen. Here we go.
Oh, God, I don't get this. Help me to get it.
Yeah. Just give me a nugget, Lord.
Something.
Give me a breadcrumb.
Yeah.
And I'll look for the next breadcrumb. And before I know it, I'm going to be down the path in relationship with you.
Mm.
So that's my F for my acronym for Feast. It starts with friendship with God.
Mm.
He wants relationship, fellowship, friendship with us. This book is a love letter. It is an invitation into knowing him, abiding with him, abiding in his word. He abides in us. This is a knowing invitation. So we feast on his word to know the one who is the word.
Mm.
We don't feast on the Bible to know the Bible. We feast on the Bible to know the God of the Bible.
Yes.
We don't need to know more of the Bible. We need to know more of God. And the Bible is how we get to know him, right? So it starts with friendship. E is eat. So whether you're doing the verse of the day on your Bible app, you're just reading through a passage over and over every day this week because a friend of yours said, hey, I'm going to read through this section of Ephesians 6. I've never really understood the armor. Okay, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'll do that every day this week, and then we'll get together on Sunday before church or after church and we'll grab brunch and we'll talk about what we learned. Okay. Or you're reading a chapter a day, or you're reading through the Bible, right? Whatever it is, the next portion is to eat, right? So we start with friendship. Now we're going to open it up. We're going to eat. A is for apply it. Now, there are in-depth Bible studies, right? You're really diving deep. You're answering a bazillion questions. I think there's a time for that. I think it's wonderful. But it can be as simple as these three simple questions. What did I learn about God just now? What do I realize about myself in light of this? And three, what should I do?
Yeah.
How do I live differently? Is there something I should stop doing because I'm feeling convicted of sin? Is there something I should start doing because I'm convicted of righteousness? Is there something I don't even know what it means and I just need to lean in more about how I should be living? This is part of the sanctification process.
And Wendy, I don't think we always stop to ask that question.
No, because when you ingest but don't digest, it leads to oftentimes spiritual indigestion or malnourishment, right? Because we're not getting the nutrients out of what we just ate. We're like gobbling it up, checking the box and moving on. So you ingest the word, but applying it helps us to digest it. So we've got friendship, we've got eating it up, we've got applying it. S is for savoring it. Even after you've done the application, now you got to take what you learned with you. Like if all you do is close your Bible and move on.
How do you savor it? What's that look like?
Well, sometimes it'll be like, I love keeping little note cards on my desk or wherever I study the Bible. Sometimes they're tucked into the pages and I'm like, oh, I want to write that verse down. And I'll tuck it into my pocket or in my purse, put it on by my sink or on the mirror or in my car. And I'm like, oh, that's right. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind in Christ. That's the verse I need to savor, then the verse I need to meditate on. I need to not only read it, I need to believe it. I need to let that verse seep into me and believe because I'm struggling with anxiety and my mind feels just fractured and bouncing. But I read in God's word that I have a sound mind. That's part of my inheritance. I want to chew the cud as a cow does, right?
Over and over.
I want to take it with me. But if I left my snack, if I left my meal, if I left my feast in my Bible, and I was only there for, let's say I had a meaty time with the Lord. I was in the Bible for 25 minutes, or you were in the Bible for 3 minutes. How many minutes are you not in the Bible? So take it with you so that you might savor the sweetness of that which was so good.
I know that when our kids were little, it's just like you have kids on you.
Get to the tea.
Oh, I will.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get the tea.
Yeah.
But they're on you all the time.
Yes.
So I'm like, I don't even know how I read my Bible anymore.
Yes.
And so you probably did this too. I had my Bible everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That's why I needed the little Bible that I prayed for.
Yes. I had one in the kitchen. I had one in the bathroom. I had one in the car as I'm waiting for kids in a school line. And there's such a temptation because now we all have our phones, which has the Bible on them too, which is good. But man, as soon as I pick up my phone, you're just captured by whatever post was on there. And so even to discipline our minds, because how will your life look different if you're in the Word, digesting and eating of the Word versus social media?
Yeah.
Our lives will look so different and our hearts will be so fulfilled as we get in God's word. And maybe we discipline ourselves to think, I'm not going to go on to social media until I have feasted on God's word.
The word before the world.
Yeah, that's really good. All right, now the tea.
I think that what you're saying leads to the tea, which is we want to be transformed.
Yes.
And the other things don't transform us.
No,
that's not true. Do not be transformed
by the world,
but be conformed to the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's a saying, we all know it.
I should say that over. Don't be conformed.
Yes, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thank you. We got that mixed up. You are what you eat. So, I mean, I joke, God will never call me to a 40-day cheese fast. I love cheese. Who doesn't love a good charcuterie board, right?
Yes.
But if all I ate was cheese, I'd be physically bigger. I would look different. And if all I do is consume social media, then I will start looking by that which comes across my feed.
Yes.
But if I start feeding on God's word, then I'm going to start being transformed and looking more like that.
So
I had a friend when my kids were young, Miss Angie, and she had a sing-song voice and she was so patient with the kids and she was always having creative party ideas. And I loved to be with Miss Angie. My peer, but I would even say to the kids, who's the best mom in the world? And we would all cheer, Miss Angie, what's the happiest place in the world? And we lived close to Disneyland and we would still say, Miss Angie's house. And when I would spend time with Miss Angie, my voice pattern even sounded more like her. My joy was more like her joy. It was contagious. It was like I was rubbing up against her and I was taking on her character. And that is true when we spend time in God's word. You are what you eat. You are whom you spend time with. You become more like their character. And so we want to consume more of him.
This is time for you to share the dog fighting story.
The dog fighting story?
Yeah. It's the...
Who wins the dog fight?
Yes.
It's told like it's a true story. Who knows? But it was like this guy, you know, takes dogs down. Again, this is horrible. Dog fights are terrible.
Don't bet money on dog fights. Don't Google dog fight.
Yeah. You know, but he would always bet on the right dogs. And somebody came to him one day and said, I'll never bet again, but can you tell me, do you know who's going to win the fight? And he goes, yeah. Whatever dog you feed the most wins. And it's the spirit and flesh. You know, it's how it's used. It's what are you feeding on? What are you eating? We feast on the world's
culture.
Mindset.
Okay. Can we all just a moment ask the Lord, what are we feeding?
Yeah.
And it could even be for some of you listening, whatever it is right now that you're binge watching. Calling out sin. I'm just saying if what you're watching right now is Game of Thrones and Yellowstone,
right.
I'm okay listening to a whole lot of cussing with a whole lot of sex in it. I'm not saying me. I'm saying if that's what you're saying, actually, I prefer it. But no, but if you're consuming, let's say, three hours with three episodes at night,
right?
You and your husband, but you're at church for a 37-minute message once a week,
right?
Which
dog's going to win?
The flesh or the spirit?
Yeah. What am I feeding?
Yeah.
What am I watching?
But as a pastor for 40 years almost now, I sense, and there's surveys that back this up, when I even say, hey, let's turn to Malachi. Honestly, you look out there, and today, again, everybody's got a device, but back in the day when people would open their Bibles, most of the room can't find that book.
Yeah.
They're just not familiar with the book. The only time they open it is right now. Yeah. This 30 minutes once a week. And if you are a golfer,
church, you're saying,
or anything else, and you're like, I'm going to become a great golfer. I'm going to play 30 minutes once a week. You'll never shoot par. It's like we don't apply that concept to anything else that we really want to be good at. But the word of God is just like, oh, it's not that important. It's the most important thing you can do.
I would recommend something. If you have a church that has a theologically grounded and intentional children's ministry, as long as you are a Bible-believing Christian, whether this is in your comfort zone and your gifting or not, see if you can serve in children's ministry. If you do not know the word yet, you don't understand the message, the arc of Scripture, you don't know where Malachi is, start serving in your children's ministry. They won't ask you to teach beyond your knowledge, but you might start learning. Or get for your children or your grandchildren the Jesus Storybook Bible or the Jesus Bible. There are a couple children's Bibles. And I tell you, as a woman who to some degree does know the word, it is oftentimes in the context of teaching children that I'm most moved by the simplicity of the gospel. And also they're oftentimes learning the fruit of the Spirit. They're learning to feed the spirit, not the flesh. And they're learning it on a very elementary level.
And simplistic, and you can remember it.
Yes, and they're going to learn the books of the Bible. You can learn with them Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. You'll be singing it. And then challenge yourself to sing along with young children the books of the Bible.
Who does the Bible, not the recap, the woman, who's the guy that does the little video before each book?
Bible Project.
Oh, the Bible. There are so many good ones.
There are so many good ones that will just explain it simply.
And here's what I will do those. Even, you know, I'm on my, I don't even know how many times through the Bible I've done.
I've shown them at church for a series. Yeah. Hey, we're going to study this book. Watch this. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's end by talking about your last section, Wendy. Commit to stay hungry, faithful, and unashamed of a biblical worldview.
Oh, this is a hard one, but I think so important. There's a movement that's, let's be progressive is the term, right? We're progressive Christians.
What do you think that means?
Well, I think what it was intended to mean originally was, hey, there's this historical reading of the word in Christian churches in North America, interpretation of the Bible, but we want to be more inclusive. We want people who are homosexuals to feel safe and comfortable here. We will have maybe more women pastors preaching. We will, and so they start broadening what a lot of the more conservative churches are doing. And I absolutely think it's okay to have really meaningful dialogues about what does the word say and how do we show the love of Christ to the people in our communities and invite them in and give a safe place. So I think that the purpose of the churches who have become more progressive, I think the intention is really, really good. Elisa Childers has a book called Another Gospel. She talks about progressive Christianity as eventually if you broaden and broaden and broaden what the gospel is, what it includes, you can broaden it to the point where it's actually not the gospel anymore.
It's no longer.
So I say you can progress beyond the gospel is the way I put it. Many progressive churches, because they don't want to hurt people's feelings, they want everyone to feel included. Suddenly they don't want to address sin. So sin becomes like it's an off the table topic. Well, we don't talk about homosexuality. We don't talk about anything that might offend someone, gender. Before you know it, you're not talking about sin, but there is no need for Christ. There's no need for redemption.
There's no need for his death.
There's no need for his death. There's no need for his resurrection. Mm-hmm. We don't need Christ if there was no sin to separate us from God.
Yeah. And now we've lost the gospel.
You don't need it.
Right.
Why would you need good news when there's never been bad news? We've got to read the word, to know the word. So when we're taught something that is counter the word, we will know it and say, no, I know what the word is. And we will be like Dave leaving the Bible study, holding up our Bible saying, nope, nope, nope. I'm not ashamed of this.
Yep.
I'm not looking to start fights for division's sake, but I am willing to stand up for truth's sake because of love, not because of the opposite of love, not because I'm looking to be judgmental, but because Christ came motivated by love to bring people to the Father, and sin separates us from the Father. So the loving thing to do is to recognize that sin exists and we want to, in love, call it out, speak the truth in love. Of course, we have to first shine the light of truth in our own lives, which is why we need to open the word too.
Yep.
Say, God, I give you access to the cobwebby corners of my life and heart. Shine a light there first.
And I'm telling you, I've said this so many times, we are being discipled by our culture.
We are.
We live in it. Can't help it. We're being conformed. We're being discipled by the culture. Automatically, it just happens.
You will be discipled.
Yes. And so if we don't know the word, you're right, Wendy, we will just conform.
Yeah.
But if we know the word and we know what it says and we know that it brings life and it is the best feast we will ever taste, when you taste of the word of God, the world feels much less appetizing.
It loses its sweetness.
Yes. Hey, I got to ask this. I got two moms of boys.
Yes.
Yeah. How did you guys do this with your kids?
Mm. Not perfectly. Go ahead, Wendy.
You are amazing.
I love that. You take this one. I will answer that question, but just a caveat for the moms listening who maybe have grown children. Whether you did it and knocked it out of the park and your kids love the Lord, or you did it and you thought you were knocking it out of the park and
they aren't following the Lord.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah.
Let's just remember that the God who wrote the word, who inspired the word, is the one who is the word chasing them down in all spirit and truth today.
Because we feel incredible guilt.
There's a seed there, yeah.
Man, did we ever. And so sometimes when I'm praying for my children today, and they're grown now, I will just spend time praying for the soil. Mm. Lord, I just bless the soil of their lives. Holy Spirit, would you just knock out some of the rocks.
The rocks and the
pull
hardness.
Some of the weeds. Toil the soil.
Mm. Chase them down.
Yeah, moisten it with your tears. And thank you for the privilege of having planted so many gospel seeds in their lives. Help me, Lord, even now to model well a life of love and joy and service that represents you well.
And I think too, Dave, I feel like I have done some good things. And I asked the boys, like, what do you remember? Yeah. Nothing. They basically remember. But the thing they do say, Mom, I do remember this, is you reading your Bible.
Yes.
I remember that Bible always being on the table, like every day the Bible was out on the
table. Well, I had, because we were homeschooling for quite a few years, I had all the fun devotionals. I mean, I call them fun, okay? My kids are like, oh my gosh, again. But I mean, I had, and now I'm printing up coloring pages, and now let's make a specific meal that goes with the theme of the book we're reading to go with the, like.
I would walk so with Jesus
the
if I were
today
your child.
Would say she was a little extra, right?
That's,
well, so whether you've done a lot and then it ended up there tell you did too much or you didn't do enough, it is always the Lord that brings revelation and faith. It is the gift of the Spirit that gives eyes to see and a spirit that receives.
And if you've done nothing as a mom, just know it's never too late. Maybe your kids are all gone. Maybe you have grandkids or not.
Yeah.
But you can still start your own journey. Feasting on God's word.
Absolutely.
Growing in your faith.
Yeah, and the key that it would be an overflow.
Yes, that's
absolutely.
What I was going to say.
Couldn't deny
absolutely.
It because they see it coming out of mom or dad.
You can't
or both.
Help but talk about it.
So I'll use one more acronym from your book as we close and say, forget everything and start today.
Uh-huh. Yes, feast. Forget everything and start today.
I didn't have to look. I remember
and there's,
that one.
And there's so much grace in that, isn't there?
It doesn't matter what happened yesterday or last year. Maybe you were in the
with
Word
yourself,
for decades.
With the
start
kids,
now.
With your husband.
And let me ask.
This is grace.
God is never beating you up. He's not saying, well, finally, you're in the Word. He is always cheering you on.
Yeah.
And
one more day I'm giving you.
He never does that. We say it to ourselves.
Yes.
But that's not who he is.
No,
you know,
we thank
interesting
you, Lord.
When you were saying earlier about praying, I don't often think about praying before I open the Word. That was a great reminder to say, wait, all the things that are really, really important to us, we pray. Mm-hmm. Like being in the NFL as a chaplain, guess how many teams pray in their locker room before they go on a football field? Every team.
Really?
Because it's so important to the city, to the organization, to everybody there. Whether they believe in God or not, everybody wants to pray. It's like before battle.
Like, everybody prays in a foxhole.
So when you said today, you know, pray before you open the Word, I'm like, why wouldn't we? This is just as important. It's more important than winning
an
NFL football game.
Did you come to hear from the Lord today?
But I remember doing a chapel years ago. Again, I didn't use an acrostic. I used 7 P's.
Mm-hmm.
And I called it the 7 P's of Bible study. See if this works. I don't even remember.
I'm sure it's good. Hun,
I'm
going to
try and remember. It was, number one, it's got to be a priority.
Yes.
This is one of the most important things you'll do every day. Number two, you need a place. I would say find a place that you love in the house. Doesn't have to be, but it could be a chair or, you know, somewhere you do it. Number three, pray. I had that as one of the things.
Good.
Before you open the Word, pray.
Just so you know, many Bible teachers, pastors, well-intentioned, bloggers, we know things and we forget to do them sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Yeah,
you're
so
on 3.
I hadn't forgotten I had that one when you said it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I had that one. Passage. You need a passage you're going to study. Mm-hmm. Whether you're going through the whole Bible or going through a book, don't just randomly say, I'm going through the book of Psalms, whatever. Have a passage.
Yeah.
Get a pen. Now, today it'd be maybe a digital device, but take notes or write it in your Bible.
Yeah.
Scribble things there. You may hand this to your grandkids someday. And
that's
they'll see,
my heart. I love
me
it
too.
You know, that man, he didn't just look at the passage. He took notes. He had a pen. 6 was ponder. Think
Savor.
About it.
Meditate.
Savor was yours.
Savor.
And then 7 was practice. Do it. Live it.
Transform.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice. Well done.
It's not as good as
it's a good alliteration.
Feast,
good
but
one.
It works.
And you know what? Wendy's book has scripture every day in it.
Yes.
And they're good scriptures
food
too.
For thought. Some questions afterwards.
Yeah.
So feast.
Food for thought. That's what
food
it's called.
For thought.
FamilyLifeToday.com. Show notes. We've got a link. Get her book right there.
Wendy, that was really good.
That was awesome.
Just a good reminder for everybody of how important that is. Yeah.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.